Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. And if you expect to be in favor with God when you meet Him, and you will meet Him, you must have received the gift of His grace, His Son, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord, who died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and He died for sinners. And you've come to understand that you are a sinner. You are the sinner for whom Christ died. Now, sometimes I'm sure that makes people angry because of their pride. You think I'm a sinner. I've had several people to tell me that. You think I'm a wicked sinner. Well, is there any other kind of sinner? Is there a good sinner? A sinner is a person who is at odds with God. He's the enemy of God. And if you're not right with God, you're not good. And one who rejects Jesus Christ is definitely not good. And that's what a sinner is. One who chooses to trust in his or her own works. And God has said that you're so bad that He had to give His perfect Son to die for your sins. Now, He didn't say He would give 5 people, 10 people, or 20 people to pay for your sins. He gave one, His perfect Son, His Son of righteousness, to pay for your sins and my sins. Now, if you will receive Christ Jesus the Lord, God will receive you. If you continue to reject Jesus Christ the Lord, then God has no part in your life. Other than that, He is allowing you to live and giving you grace to live and to be and to do what you do and to prosper, to be able to think, to have your mind as you do. But He is in charge. I'm looking now in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, at an account of a man who built a large kingdom. This man's name is Nebuchadnezzar, and he feels as though he's the one who has done all of these things. And in verse 30 of chapter 4, he says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty?" Now, while the words were still in his mouth, there fell from heaven a voice saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Now, what could this man do when God over him speaks and tells him, "What you have is now taken from you. It's to be gone. It's yours no more." And the same hour the thing fell upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. This was the way this man was, driven from the presence of his subjects in his palace. And he goes out like this and he stays for a whole 7-year time. The same hour the Lord did this. Then at the end of all of that time, he lifts up his eyes and he praises the God of heaven. He honors the God of heaven. He no longer honors himself, but he honors the Lord. You see, the Lord let this king prosper, the Lord in his goodness, and the Lord lets you prosper. But don't boast about what you've done. You'd better give God the praise and glory. You'd better receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that Thou wouldest bless this brief devotional and speak to hearts and turn many unto Thyself. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Now let's look again in the book of Genesis, we have been considering then Abraham's prayer, intercessory prayer, for the people of Sodom. And now we are about to see the plan of judgment fall mightily upon the city. We made a comparison of Genesis 19:1 and Genesis 18:1 of these two men. Lot, being the nephew of Abraham, chose, or he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he wound up being taken captive with those of Sodom, and wound up in the gates of Sodom, and he is about to be destroyed in the presence with the wicked. And the Lord is a merciful God, and Abraham has said, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? So the Lord gets the wicked out of that city, or gets the righteous out of the city of the wicked. The people who hate the Lord would call Lot wicked, and that's what they do today. If you will say what the Bible says, they will call you a wicked person. They will talk about themselves being very tolerant and loving everybody. And all you have to do is to say, I believe the Bible. Everything that is in it, I believe that the God of the book is in sovereign control. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners, and His way is the only way. And then right there, you become an object of hatred. And as far as the wicked are concerned, they say you're wicked because you won't condone their sin. Now, here the Lord shows to us in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, that He is about to bring destruction upon this very wicked city. And the Lord said in verse 2 of Genesis 19, Behold, now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. Now, Lot was not in any mindset to leave this city. He was willing to bid these people on their way. And these two angels who had come to bring destruction upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, let me just bid you on your way. Let me give you a lodging place. And he was not aware of the danger he was in. And that's the way sin works. You're brought in to a place where it is, and it's engulfing you. It has anesthetized you, and things are being done to you, and you're not aware of it. Television is one of the things that does this to us. We begin to change our opinions about things that the Bible condemns. We start to lightly esteem that which God says is sacred, and we begin to look favorably upon that which God says is vain and wicked. Why? Because it's the very illustration that is often given of a frog and boiling water. A frog, if dropped in a hot pan, will suddenly leap out and save himself. But if you take that same frog and put him in a pot, so I'm told, I've never done this, and gradually increase the temperature, the frog, as the temperature changes, will become adjusted to the increase in temperature and eventually will boil to death and does not know that it is for his life. That is the way sin does it. Sin works that way. When you gradually begin to, as Lot did, look toward sin and you start walking in that direction where sin is, and you start to make allowances for sin, eventually you will be in the presence of sin and do not feel the pain that you felt before you were brought in contact with it. But that is often the case here with sin, as it does work. And so in this particular instance here, Lot is willing to greet these two angels who've come and to be kind to them and then to bid them to go on their way. And they said, we'll stay in the streets tonight. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and they did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now notice, these are angels, and they appear as men, and they do eat in the presence of Lot. They are not ordinary people. They are mighty, powerful beings. They are these ministering spirits sent to protect and to provide for these who are heirs of the kingdom of God. In verse 4, but before Lot and these do get a chance to recline for the evening, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compass the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, the Lord God here lets us know what was going on in that city. Old and young, from every side of the city, the rich and the poor, were all very wicked. And that's the way homosexuality works. I just read an article yesterday of how that the Roman Catholic priesthood now has become an industry for homosexuals, for those who are vile and wicked. Now, I'm not, this was an article that appeared yesterday, and I read this information. And see, homosexuality, it recruits, and it's like a black plague, like a demonic, vile, wicked thing that is on the prowl and contaminating and corrupting everything that it comes in contact with. And it pollutes. And this is the very situation that happened here in Sodom. And the scriptures tell us, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So the city is rotten to the core. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And this phrase, that we may know them, is the same way that the Lord portrays for us the relationship that takes place when a man and a woman are going to bring forth a child. This is what these men are saying. We want the men that came into your house so that we can do to them this vile, wicked act. It was not that the Lord was saying to, as the liberals and those who want to justify their sin of homosexuality, will say the reason why there was judgment brought on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was because of Lot's, or the city's, inhospitality, that they were not kind, they wouldn't give them a place to stay. No, that's not it at all. The Lord said they were wicked men, very wicked, and they are coming in to do a very wicked thing. But the Lord is going to protect this man, and Lot goes out of the door. He shuts the door after him, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. So there it is again. It's clear that what they are wanting to do in the sight of God is a very wicked and vile thing. And God calls it wicked. Who then can challenge what God has called wicked and evil? Father, we ask that thy blessings will be upon this message, and that someone will be turned from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, and to become a new creation through faith in Christ Jesus, to be delivered from the bondage of sin. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson. May the Lord richly bless you.